Am I on? Okay, great. Great. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sunday morning. It's great to be together. It's great to be with family this morning. I wanted to start off this morning by apologizing to the church. A couple of weeks ago, Jacob actually was up here preaching a sermon. Heard a great sermon. And at the end, he made an illustration or a reference to something. Now, Jacob, I love. He's a great preacher. And he's actually in school learning to be a great preacher. He's actually taking Bible classes. Jacob, every week he preaches, sends me his sermon to look over, to review. And I always look it over, and I'll review it. Great. But this particular day, he sent me his sermon. And I just sort of glanced over it. Didn't really pay attention to it. He had an illustration in there that was not the best or most appropriate illustration for what he wanted to make. I signed off. I said, bro, looks good. Go for it. Did not read it. He was really getting my input. So that's my fault. I want to apologize to Jacob. I have apologized to Jacob. And I want to apologize to you because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. So, Jacob, you are a great man of God, a great preacher. I love you. I can't wait to hear you preach again. And in front of everyone, I want to say I'm sorry for not looking over your notes. I'm training Jacob. And so, Jacob, someday you'll be training ministers. And when you do, read her notes. Amen. All right, let's go to God in prayer, amen. In case you haven't noticed, this is back to school Sunday. Right. No one said that. That's why we had a campus kid up and a college kid up. Andrew, who clearly is a bit of a spoiled brat, was up here. And Peyton Averbeck, great, great story. Appreciate that. He's a senior in high school, and Andrew's going into his sophomore, junior. You've been in almost 3 years. So anyway, really proud of them. So I have a back-to-school message for us today. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for being such a great and awesome God. Thank you for all of our young people, Father, and I love to see this ministry growing. Father, we even had a baptism last night, I believe. Ryland Averbeck was baptized. And so we're just grateful that you're adding to our numbers, God. Thank you for Jacob and Sam and their work in the campus ministry, for Alex and Cassie and their work with really all of our youth, but specifically directly with the high school ministry. God, thank you for the church that is investing in our youth, investing in training leaders and raising up leaders. Thank you, God. I do pray for our kids as they're going back to school, God, all of the many pressures and anxieties that exist. And so, God, I do pray for them. I pray, Father, that you will help them to guard their heart, Father, to be on guard, Father, just as the enemy is, as the scriptures say, roaming around, seeking to devour. And so, God, please pray a special blessing on the message this morning, God. Remove me, say what needs to be said. Challenge us, inspire us, as Peyton said, comfort those that need comforting, and make uncomfortable any of us that need to be made uncomfortable. And all of this we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Talking about guarding your heart this morning, for our men's midweek this past week, we talked about King David, and or I guess it was 2 weeks ago, King David. And King David didn't. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart, but he went through a period where he didn't guard his own heart. And David allowed his heart's desires. And they were desires that were not God's desires for David. They were David's desires, which led to him taking Bathsheba, a woman that wasn't his, who was married. His desires overcame because he wasn't guarding his heart. And then David began to rationalize his sin. You know, as you read the story of David, he tried to justify himself by having Uriah the Hittite come back from the battle lines, fighting the king's battles, come back and get Uriah to go to bed with his wife, and David wanted to cover this thing up, and so no one would see. And so, you know, there's obviously no DNA test, and so if she's pregnant, she's clearly pregnant for Uriah. But Uriah refused to go to bed with his wife because he goes, I'm not going to go to bed with my wife when all of the soldiers are out fighting on the battle line. And David was going, okay, stay one more night. Got him drunk, right? Tried to get him, and Uriah refused. So David sent Uriah back with a message to give to Joab that he put him in the battle and pull back from him so that he can be killed. Rationalizing his sin, right? But then after the sin, David did what we all do sometimes when we blow it. He just isolated himself. Didn't tell anyone. No one would know this thing that had happened. And so we talked about how really these are sort of three triggers, if you will, for us. When we're not guarding us, our desires will control us. Then we begin to rationalize our sin. And of course, then we isolate ourselves. Until God sends someone along, hopefully you have a prophet or a mentor or someone in your life that will come along and call you out on your sin. Amen? Amen. So today I thought on Back to School Sunday, I would give a message to our young people. And hopefully something that we can all use. And the sermon is called Guard Your Heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Amen? Amen. Let's dive in. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. This is always good. You know, my mother, when I went off to college, she said, read the Proverbs. So I will say that to you young people. Read the Proverbs. School is to some degree about, increasing your intellect or increasing your curiosity or making you more intelligent. I think that's what they're still trying to do in school. I'm not really sure. But I want to encourage you to grow in wisdom, okay? Read the Proverbs, amen? It says this, above all else, guard your heart, for it is a wellspring of life. Imagine a beautiful spring in a forest, right? Clear, fresh water. The waters are even bubbling a little bit. These clear, fresh waters are even nourishing everything around it, the trees, the plants. Now imagine if that spring became contaminated, right? Got muddy, became unsafe. The water no longer gives life. Instead, it destroys life. It spreads disease. That spring is like our heart. Whatever flows from our heart shapes our lives. And even to some degree, impacts those around us. Guarding our hearts, it's a spiritual command. Yes, it is. But it also, it's the key to, I believe, your emotional, your psychological, and even your spiritual well-being. We must guard our hearts. And so really, four things I want you to think about as we go through this. Four questions to consider. What does an unguarded heart, let's go to the next slide. What does an unguarded heart look like? When should I guard my heart? Can God help me guard my heart? And what are the benefits? What are the rewards, you might say, from guarding my heart? I got 2 points and sort of 3 sub-points under number two. Point number one is why guarding your heart is so important. It's because the Bible says it's the wellspring of life. It's the wellspring of life, and it really protects you emotionally, psychologically, socially, and spiritually. Guarding your heart protects you. The consequences of not guarding your heart are so destructive. But we have to guard our hearts. The Bible says it's a wellspring of life. Out of you will flow so many great things. And I believe there's so much good that God has already put in your hearts. Really good things that God has given you. Some of those things have come from your family. But when you allow your heart to get contaminated, it's hard for those things to come out. It's hard for them to exist. It's the wellspring of life. But secondly, the consequences of neglecting your heart are too dire. When you don't guard your heart, you make poor decisions. Poor decisions socially. Poor decisions academically, I believe. Poor decisions spiritually as well. Here are some of the consequences of not guarding your heart. Anxiety. Fear. Regret. Impulsive decisions, right? Relational conflict. Toxic relationships. Shallow relationships. Avoiding conflict. Lying. Resisting input or feedback in your life. When you get to that point in your life, you don't want anyone to tell you anything. It's because you have not guarded your heart. Your heart's become hard. What happened to that little, gentle, childlike heart that had all of the curiosity and questions? But when you don't guard your heart becomes, I know. You got a teen that does that? I know everything. I know. Like, how were you born with all that knowledge? You just know everything. I know. The answer to everything is I know. There's some adults like that too, right? You try to tell them something, and the first word, you can't even finish. I go, I know. Like, what was I going to say? Oh, I don't know, but I know. You have a hard heart. A childlike heart is like, no, tell me. Questions, curiosity, right? When our hearts and our heart are just so... When our hearts are hard, we don't guard them. They're so prideful. We don't want feedback. We're angry. We're more irritable. And then you begin to think you're a victim. It's not my fault. It's everyone else's fault. If you find yourself really never taking responsibility of things, it's because you've allowed your heart to become hard. You've not guarded your heart. You rarely take responsibility. And sometimes you might have friends around you. They may not be all righteous, but they'll say, you know, you blame everything on everybody else. Thank God for that person, okay? You never take responsibility for anything. Another sign, another consequence of neglecting your heart is gossip. Gossip, right?
Say that,
man. Gossip! And of course, then you begin to compromise standards. Biblical standards, of course, but sometimes they just may be family agreed upon standards. They may be just standards that even you had for yourself. Oh, I'm not going to do that. I would never do that. But when you don't guard your heart, you are vulnerable.
Yeah.
Vulnerable to temptations. And all the negative influences that are out there. School is a place where it's a great place. Again, I think it's a place where they're trying to educate our kids. I think that's what's supposed to be happening there, okay? That's somewhere in their, what do you call it, mantra, if you will, right? But there are so many negative influences. And even the people that are in charge, they're so afraid, in some cases, they're so fearful of what's going to happen to them if something goes wrong, they're just running around constantly making things harder to even do the thing that they're supposed to be doing. But that's a whole nother story, okay?
All right.
But, I mean, you high school students, I mean, and college students, when the challenge of online itself, I mean, I had struggles when I was a kid, right? I mean, I probably, you know, there might have been a neighborhood bully. That makes sense, okay? Some kid that I had to avoid, all right? But I could avoid that kid, you know, by just going the other way. Does that make sense? Online, it's always with you. It's everywhere. And then the comparison. I had a kid in my neighborhood. It was a pretty good-looking kid. This is sort of one or two kids. Man, you're always online like, oh, she's beautiful, he's beautiful. All the comparison, it's overwhelming, isn't it?
Yeah.
So their young minds, in one sense, are constantly being flooded with all these things. But you've got to guard your heart. Because you will become so anxious and so withdrawn and so reactive in your relationships. You'll become reactive in your relationships, not only with your friends and your peers, but with your parents. Right? Like, what? You're defensive. Your parents say something, you're like, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, what's going on with you? They're not guarding their hearts. Their hearts are becoming harder. Guard your heart. It is the wellspring of life. And I think we can feel it sometimes if we really step back and go, man, something's happened to my heart. I've got to again start to guard my heart. When you learn to guard your heart, it's when you are focused more on God, more on truth. That's when we regain peace and clarity and healthy relationships. Are you with me?
Yeah. All right.
What would it look like this school year if you fully protected your heart? What would it look like this year if you protect yourself? I'm gonna guard my heart this year. How awesome would it be? Point number two, how to guard our heart. Three areas of focus, and then we're gonna wrap it up, okay? You guard upward, amen? Focus on God. Matthew 6, 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What your heart really needs, what your heart really longs for, what you were created for is worship. You were created to worship. And so because we're created to worship, you will find something to worship. You will find something to worship. You may worship school. You may worship sports. You may worship your friends or online, but you are made to worship. You can't help it. Just go to a sporting event. They're all out there crying. You pan out. You go, are those people at church? No, they're watching the game. If it wasn't for the clothes, you would be like, I think, are they worshiping God? Nope, they're just worshiping their sports team. That's it. But we were made for that. We were made to worship. But here's the thing. When the Bible says seek first the kingdom, it doesn't mean just come to church. Of course, come to church. Bring your friends. But what that is really saying is seek the reign of God Almighty. Seek God's reign on earth. Seek the kingdom, God's reign. It means that every day when you wake up, you should say, God Almighty, what is it? What will you have of me today? What do you want me to do today? What do you want from me, God? Our hearts are made to worship. So we should focus on God, amen?
Amen.
And here's how you do that practically. I'll say 10 to 30 minutes a day. If you wake up and you say, I'm just going to spend 10 minutes. You can start with 5. I'm going to read a verse. I'm going to say a prayer. You go, well, I don't know if I have 5 minutes. You know, every Sunday morning I get this message from Apple about the time I spent on my phone. What's that called? That phone report thing? Look at that. You'll find 5 minutes. Trust me. You'll find 5, 10, 15 minutes. And it breaks it down to you. Productive. Socially. The social one always outweighs the productivity, doesn't it? You kind of go, oh, bummer. You know what I mean? But 10, just start with 5. And then build to 10. It might require you waking up 5 minutes earlier, 10 minutes earlier, 30 minutes earlier. But start your day. Scripture. Prayer. Make time, amen. Memorize a verse. I'm going to try to memorize one verse a week that's going to help me guard my heart and focus on God, amen?
Amen.
so that you can filter all of the junk that's coming at you, the media, the relationships. And you can make it your goal to have God's perspective. The reign of God will become what I care about more than anything else. Start your day, God, how can I honor you today? Amen. I think if you do that, you can, you'll have a much better year. You're going to have a better semester, okay? Here's a question. What are you allowing to influence you more than God right now? What's the thing in your life that's influencing you more than God? It could be a good thing. But if it's more than God, it's not good. Amen? It could be. I think God gives us many blessings. Yeah. Spouse, kids, work. But when we put all of those things before God and they begin to influence us more than God, that is not good. Yeah. And so we've got to then seek first the kingdom of God. And God says, guess what? All these things, I'll give them to you. They will all be added in time. Amen.
Amen.
The second thing under this point of how to guard your heart. Protect your thoughts. Protect your emotions. Protect your thoughts and your emotions. Philippians 4:3 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think about such things, okay? Those are the things that we need to be thinking about, okay? The things that are pure and that are true, noble, right, lovely, admirable. Think about those things. And if you're just a little selfish, it doesn't mean just think about you, okay? Well, I'm pure, I'm right. You know what I'm saying? Think about those things. Our hearts are shaped by the things we think, by the things we feel, by the things we believe, right? And so guarding our heart inwardly, it's being responsible. You've got to be responsible for your inner man or woman. You got to be responsible for your inner self. So you got to take care of yourself. I know you got a lot of emotions when you're young, lots and lots of emotions. And the older I get, it's like I become more like a young person again. I'm crying doing commercials. I do think my body is filling up with more and more estrogen. If that happens, it's a cruel thing. You know, I went from testosterone, cry about nothing, you know? Now I'm like, I cry about everything. If I see someone cry, I cry. I went to the David play on vacation in Branson. I'm sitting there trying not to let the people around me hear me crying. I don't know why, I'm crying. I cried like 4 times doing this thing. I cry all the time. So I know there's lots of emotions, okay, when we're young, and apparently when we're old too, okay? So name that emotion. Get you an emotion wheel and name it, okay? And there's more in the emotion wheel, Peyton, than happy, hungry, and angry, okay? But those are good ones, all right? Talk to someone about how you're feeling. What are you feeling? Kind of know what you're feeling. Talk about what you're feeling, okay? Those feelings aren't always right, but talking about them, naming them can be helpful, okay? But you also got to challenge your negative thoughts. That's a lie. That's not true. That's not who God says I am. God didn't say I was ugly. I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to believe that lie. You got to challenge it and replace it with biblical things. But how can you know the biblical things if you're not reading your Bible? Amen. Read your Bible so you have truth that you can confront all of that negative stuff with. Confess your sins. This is a good practice, confession. It's one of the greatest gifts God's given us is to be able to confess. You can get all that toxicity out. You know what I mean? You can just get it out. Now I can't claim you anymore. I've confessed it. Okay? I told somebody, when you confess it, Satan goes, oh, shucks, I was going to just try to keep that in there and just work on it and dig a little deeper. But when you confess it and get it out, he goes, you got to flee. The enemy's got to flee. Can't accuse you anymore, amen? Confess. Get rid of that shame, that toxic shame and guilt, amen? That makes you fearful and hide more and wants you to isolate more. Huh? That's what David needed to do. He needed to confess, but the longer it went, the more he was like Adam and Eve. Remember when they sinned in the garden? They didn't confess it. They go, uh-oh, we got to hide. That's why God goes, where are you? We were kind of, see what had happened was, confess it, get rid of it. Then it can't own you, okay? But sometimes you just got to make the tough decision that you're going to turn it off. You're going to change the channel, okay? Or you're going to walk away. Does that make sense? Sometimes it's a tough decision, but you know what? I'm just not going to watch this anymore. I'm just going to delete this app. I'm just going to get rid of this. It's just not helpful. It's toxic. And it takes up a lot of time. And I'm going to actually do my homework when it's due, okay? But you know what? You also need people in your life. Everybody needs a mentor. Everybody needs a discipling partner. Everybody needs a prayer partner. Christianity was never intended to be alone. You need people in your life. You need the family of believers. And so when David tried to isolate, praise God for the prophet Nathan, who showed up and said, David, something ain't right. Something's not right. And he helped him repent and get back on track and write a great psalm, Psalm 51. You know, our hearts are a little bit like backpacks, right? Backpacks are awesome. You know, I gave my daughter Lily a ride home from school, and I was just going to grab her backpack, and I went, oh my gosh, what's in this thing? This is cruel and unusual to give a child this kind of a book. She's going to be crippled trying to carry that thing around. But you know, our hearts, they're like backpacks, and every time you don't guard it, you put junk in it, that thing just gets heavier and heavier. And pretty soon, over time, the weight slows you down. If you're not guarding your heart inwardly, okay, then it's just a load. It's a burden. Okay, but praise God that you can unload it. And you can confess. And you can do that regularly. And you could walk around lighthearted, amen?
Amen?
What are the thoughts? What are the emotions that you need to release, that you need to get rid of? What sin do you need to confess and give up and get off of your heart? Do it. It's a really, we get to confess our sin. You don't have to. We get to. You get to get open about your life. This is awesome. You know what? No one in here is in a place to go, you did what? Okay? No one. We've all done it or worse. And I will tell you that God has given me a gift. It's a gift. I have a hard time remembering your sin. It really is. I have a hard time remembering a lot of things, but this one is a gift. If you come up to me 3 months later, you go, you remember you talked to me about that? I'm going, yeah, I don't. I kind of emptied it as soon as it happened. You know what I mean? Like, thank you for sharing that. Bye-bye. Or and I might back away. Hold a second. What happened? You know what I mean? But I try to download it quickly. You know what I mean? All right. I think it's a good thing if you will find someone and get open. Amen?
Amen.
And thirdly, guard the outward. protect your relationships. 1 Corinthians 15:33. It's one of the few scriptures I remember from my Bible class when I was a kid. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Our hearts are influenced by people and our environment, right? Guarding the outward is choosing relationships and interactions that are actually life-giving. Amen? And when I say life-giving, I mean spiritual relationships. But even if they're not spiritual, choose life-giving relationships. Why are you hanging out with that kid? Okay? Why are you hanging out with that person? Not that you're better, but I'm just going, what's happening? Are you trying to bring them to Jesus or what's going on? Because you're either influencing them, right? Why are you hanging out with that person? Okay? What's the goal? I just like them. They make me laugh. Okay? Y'all going to be laughing y'all way all the way to hell. It ain't going to be funny. I sound like one of them old preachers now, you know what I mean?
Come on, man.
But your hearts are influenced by the people you hang out with. Spend times with people that lift you, challenge you as well. You need to spend time. Look, you need to spend time with people. That's great. But spend most of your time with the people that actually lift you and challenge you. Amen?
Amen.
People that help you avoid gossip. If you're hanging around people that gossip, I just want you to know, gossip is a sin, okay? It's not a good thing, all right? Stop bossing me around.
He said please.
Oh, he didn't say please, that's right. Gossip is a sin, amen? Be careful with those toxic influences in your life. See, I'm using your language, toxic. Y'all throw that around a lot. Toxic. I'm going, everything's not toxic, but yeah, people who gossip and negative, that's toxic, okay? Live righteously in your relationships. Be righteous. You know what that means if you're a disciple, if you study the Bible. Be righteous in your relationship. Yes, be the righteous person, not overly righteous, okay? And not self-righteous, but just be righteous, amen? So who's influencing you? Not only what's influenced, but who? Who's influencing your heart? Who's doing it in a healthy way? Who's doing it in a unhealthy way? Who are the people you need to go, hey, I'm gonna give you this many minutes, and then I gotta roll. Then I'm out. I gotta bounce, okay? All right, keep it moving, okay? Who are the people you have to go, hey, we can do this for a few minutes and then I gotta roll. Even if you go, the work's out a thing and I gotta go, blah, 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 I'm gonna go to this thing and I'll be like, okay, I'm in, checking in, hey, what's happening, high five, elbow, whatever you do, hugs, whatever, say, okay, I gotta bounce. I'm not staying here till the end, okay? I'm not gonna stay here till everybody's nice and lathered up with alcohol. Make sense? What's the point of that? I'm out, Oh, were you there when such and such got drunk? No, I left. I mean, were you there when such and such hit on? No, I had to go. Just had a terrible story about someone I know. Hey, these after work things. You go and you're just kind of hanging out and then you're hanging a little bit, you hang a little longer and hang a little longer and hang a little longer and all of a sudden, you know, that cute little gal in the other cubicle is just like, so how you doing? Or that cute guy, how are you? No. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Be careful with and around those relationships. You don't need to sit there and laugh. Oh, child, that's so funny. Just leave, amen? Just leave. Leave. So let's go back to our questions. What does an unguarded heart look like? Anxiety, fear, regret, impulsive decisions, relational conflict, toxic relationships, shallow relationships, avoiding conflict, lying, resisting feedback, anger, irritability. I'm a victim. You think you're a victim. You're blaming other people a lot. Won't take responsibility. Gossip. Compromise of standards. When should I guard my heart? Always. It's the wellspring of life. Always guard your heart. But especially during transitions in life. Like during the new school year, it's a good time to guard your heart. Because everybody's just like, oh, nobody's paying attention. They're just like, everyone's just goofy. You know what I'm saying? That's a good time to guard your heart. New job, guard your heart. New position at work, guard your heart. New relationships, guard your heart. Any new season of life, if you're becoming an empty nester, guard your heart. If you're like Alex and Cassie, if you're sending your firstborn off to school to kindergarten for the first time, guard your heart. It's true. Your kids go to school and all of a sudden you're going, what did the teacher say? You know what I mean? What happened at school? You mean you're like, you know, you're like on high alert. Like you come back, hey, how did it go today? Did anybody talk to you? What happened? I mean, you're like, once the third one goes off, you're like, get out of here, you know? Good luck with that. It's true. A lot less crime when that third one goes off than the first one, you know what I mean? But guard your heart, right? Guard your heart. You move into a new neighborhood, guard your heart. But bottom line, always. Can God help you guard your heart? Absolutely. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. God wants to keep you in peace, and that is the greatest reward of a guarded heart. You get peace. You have clarity. You have joy. You have better relationships. You have spiritual growth. But listen, God has created you to have joy. And when your heart is guarded, you can have the joy of a little child. You can have joy. You don't need things that make you happy because you have joy. Amen?
Amen.
Guard your heart. Upward with God. Inward, outward. Your heart shapes, our hearts shape our life. So protect it. It's a valuable treasure worth guarding. Amen?
Amen.
It's a daily choice. Start it off. 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes in the morning with God. And your heart will be guarded.